Welcome to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized from the Florida Bar Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law, also syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his fields of practice. And nationally known criminal defense attorney, Gary Ostro, Esquire. Over 30 years defending the accused in both state and federal courts. With over 500 jury trials to his credit, Gary Ostro's practice focuses on Fourth Amendment issues as related to search and seizure, as well as federal civil rights cases against police officers, as well as the departments and city in which they operate. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's program, 550,000 people become entrepreneurs every month here in the United States, and millions of businesses are actually changing hands. The secret to these businesses being successful is to have an experienced business and commercial law attorney. And today, from the law firm of Matthew Ferrano, PA, Matthew Ferrano is going to be talking about the pitfalls of opening up and running a business, or even buying a business or franchise. I'd like to first welcome our legal panel for today, Gary Ostro. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Phil. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. You get to actually talk because Gary Singer's not going to be here today.
Make my day.
And also good afternoon and welcome to our listeners on 96.9 FM, 103.9 FM, and 740 AM, along with iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now. National app listeners, welcome. I also need to remind our audience they can actually watch the production live on Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. Just Google Facebook Legal News and Review. It comes right up, and you can watch past broadcast. You know, when you see this, you'll know we're recording live at the Kelly Ustahl Building in their mock courtroom. Kelly Ustahl Law Firm is committed to helping you seek justice. Just go to justiceforall.com. That's justiceforall.com. I mean, attorneys all over the country refer cases to Kelly Ustahl because of their resources, but more importantly, their successes. And that's when your fight becomes their fight. If you've been severely injured because of the negligence of someone else, you may be eligible for compensation. Just go to justiceforall.com. Matthew, welcome back to Legal News and Review.
Thanks, Phil. It's great to be back.
Absolutely. It's been too long. Matthew, if I get the name of my business approved by the Secretary of State here in Florida, and I go to GoDaddy and get my domain name for my website, why is it, if it's approved by the state and the website domain provider, why is it, and I spent a lot of money on the collaterals opening up a business, why is it I'll get a cease and desist letter? Why does that happen?
Well, because your name is probably too close to something that already exists. You know, when you go on to SunBiz or when you deal with the Florida Secretary of State Division of Corporations, right, when you file for your business organization, whether it's an LLC, a corporation, whatever, when you go on and you register, it's a least common denominator, kind of lowest hanging fruit kind of thing, right, where as long as that name doesn't already exist and is registered in the state of Florida the exact way you want to do it, they'll approve it, all right? They make no representations or affirmations as to the authenticity of the name or whatever. All they care about is that philco.com doesn't already exist. If it already exists, they'll say no. But if philco.net, philco.whatever already exists, they'll let you go through. And then the problem is that you register your name, you go out, you get a bunch of nice business cards made up, you get your logo drawn up or whatever.
Brochures.
And then, you know, you get Phil.com or whatever registered. Then you find out that Phil's already a business and they already have a registered either state or federal trademark, you're in trouble. So the problem is that when you register your business, like I said, it's the lowest common denominator. All they care about is, does that name already exist? And if the answer is no, you get your business approved. They don't do any kind of due diligence as far as checking to see what the name is or if there's already an existing business like it or similar to it.
They will approve it without any due diligence then.
Correct. As long as the name's not already on there, they'll approve it.
Now, commercial law, business law, let's first find out what actually is business law.
Well, business law is laws dealing with any kind of business, whether big or small. The transaction side is all of the got documents that govern a business organization, such as articles of incorporation, operating agreements, things like that. As far as transactional things, it's right. buying and selling things. And as far as the litigation aspect, it's the either being the plaintiff or being the defendant in a lawsuit when either someone owes you money, you owe someone money, or someone's supposed to do something, or someone didn't do something.
I guess you have a corporate veil to protect you, but what factors should I be considering in choosing the type of business form for my business? I mean, from subchapters S, subchapter C, and what's the difference?
All right, well, here's my general rule of thumb that I tell all my clients who come to see me first, is what does your accountant say? Because your accountant controls the finances as far as what it is you want to do, all right? We can do a lot of things legally as far as your business organization structure. You can be a C Corp, an S Corp, an LLC, mm-hmm. a partnership, whatever. We can easily change that if we need to. It's just like I was talking about SunBiz before. You go on SunBiz, you change it. From a tax perspective, though, it's harder to fix something from a tax perspective if you do it incorrectly. So I always defer to a new business owner's tax professional to see what they have to say, because maybe there's some reason why they want to do something and not do something else. Then once I have that input, then we'll go through on a case-by-case basis and determine what business structure is best for the client.
Now, you're a mediator. You're also an arbitrator.
Yes.
And arbitration is big in contracts because the perception it saves you money. Is that actually correct?
The perception is it saves you money. And, like they say, perception isn't reality. You know, the concept behind arbitration is, look, we're supposed to very quickly resolve a dispute that doesn't involve having to go into court and litigating things out and whatever, okay? The reality is, in my personal experience, has been that arbitration is very expensive and it doesn't necessarily save you time. And here's why. When you have a dispute with someone or something and you have to finally, you have to go to court or whatever, right. okay? You file a lawsuit. You pay your attorney to do whatever, and you pay your filing fee to the court. That's it. Those are your expenses, all right? When you have arbitration, you have your pay your attorney, you have to pay your arbitration filing fee, and you have to pay your arbitrators. And that gets very costly very quickly, up into the tens and if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, because instead of having a judge who rules on your case for free, you have to pay for the person who's deciding the law, the arbitrator or panel of arbitrators. So certain organizations who control arbitration have certain requirements that make you have to pay, I don't want to say an exorbitant right. amount of money, but a lot of money to have arbitrations. And then in the end, in order to have an enforceable, arbitratable agreement, you have to go to court anyways. So then you have to go and confirm your arbitration award in federal court or, depending on if necessary, in state court, but most of the time federal court anyways. Right. So you basically paid more money, had to go to court anyways, and now you're back to where you could have been where if you just went to court in the first place.
And the aspect of arbitration in contracts, as I said, it's growing. But what about, because I had a vendor give me a contract, they're out of California, and says if any, I believe it's something along the lines of any legal action happens, it'll be in the venue in California mm-hmm. as well. And I couldn't get that wiped out. They said, nope, either you sign it or we won't do business.
No, it's a take it or leave it or contract.
It is.
You have the option to either try to negotiate it, or if you can't negotiate it, you don't have to enter into the contract. But that's easier said than done, obviously.
That is. Well, in my mind, if something did happen, then I'd have to get an attorney in California.
Correct.
And then I'd have to file in California eventually.
Yep.
And then I'll actually have to go to California.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of California. Well, I mean, when the country shook, that's where all the flakes went.
Yeah, look. I mean, look, someone likes California, so.
Millions do. That's true. That is true. Well, you also do commercial litigation, right?
Yes.
Now, commercial litigation is a very specialized, often complex process. What actually goes through the process of commercial litigation? Is it begin with mediation?
Well, commercial litigation is essentially a term of art that goes as far as disputes over whether people owe money or people owe certain things, or there's a duty that needs to be performed or not performed. And it all gets thrown under the blanket of commercial litigation. A lot of people go out and say, I'm a commercial litigator. I do commercial litigation. Basically, it's civil litigation that doesn't involve "ow, I'm hurt" or "I'm dead" kind of thing, or probate litigation. It's all that stuff goes under commercial litigation. So it's interesting. You know, a lot of people claim they do it. A lot of people really don't do it. So I do it.
A lot of businesses, as I open up the program, are opening up over 550,000 entrepreneurs per month. And that's amazing as well. But first of all, starting from go, a lot of these businesses have partners. Is it a good idea to have a buy-sell agreement? And actually, how should that be structured?
Yes, it's a good idea to have a buy-sell agreement. And I guess we'll tell the listeners real quick, what is a buy-sell agreement, okay, in case they're wondering what that is, right? So when you're in a business organization, whether it's a partnership, a corporation, an LLC, whatever,
right,
everything is great when you're in the planning stage. Everything's great when you're in the initial execution
stage.
Yes, everything's going to be great. We're going to make a lot of money. You're my best friend. Nothing's ever going to separate us, all right? Unfortunately, reality happens and, you know, adversity hits.
Right.
So sometimes a partner dies. Sometimes a partner becomes incompetent. Sometimes, you know, they just got to go. They got to part ways. So the buy-sell agreement essentially is your roadmap as part of your business organization that tells you how a partner or how a member is disassociated from the entity itself. And it's a necessity because as much as everyone wants to go into business and everyone wants to be friends and everyone wants to do well, sometimes it doesn't happen. And when it doesn't happen, you have to have some kind of solution to extricate yourself from the situation. And that's what the buy-sell agreement is. Because if you don't have it, then you have to rely on if there's a statute on point or, you know, essentially just litigating it out. And it's not going to turn out well for anyone.
Sounds to me it's like a prenuptial agreement because you go into business with somebody, it's kind of like a marriage.
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of like a prenuptial agreement.
But in my mind, a business, if I'm going to business, somebody has to be good for me and good for them. It makes a good business partnership.
Yeah.
You know, it cannot be one-sided. Unfortunately, it seems that way more times than not. Breach of contract is a cornerstone of what you do. People come to you because this person didn't follow up or follow through, or it's misunderstanding. Is that correct? And so it's very important from the get-go to work with an attorney to put these contracts into play. The type of businesses that you represent do what? Are we talking restaurants? Are we talking about hotels? You tell me.
We're talking a wide gamut of things. My favorite, I don't want to say my favorite type of businesses or whatever, but one of my focuses are small local-based businesses, whether it be the exterminator, the pool guy, you know, things of that nature are small local businesses because obviously that's the backbone of even in this administration, the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like helping out small local businesses. That's kind of the focus of what I do.
Well, they're lucky they won't stay small.
If they're lucky, yes. Yeah. Or maybe they want to stay small.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. Success comes a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
You know. But what constitutes a contract, and what actually is the definition of a breach of contract when someone comes to you?
Well,
they might be thinking this guy's not living up to his terms, but they could be wrong.
Well, they could be. I mean, a contract is an agreement between, you know, two or more parties that they're going to either do something, not do something, or, you know, trade goods, sell things, perform services, things like that. So what constitutes a breach is it doesn't happen. So if you and I agree to we're going to have a radio show and I come on the radio, hopefully we have a radio show. And if not, then I'm going to say that's a breach. You're going to say maybe it's not. So,
and well, you know, when it comes to business right now, time is certainly never a friend, you know?
Correct.
But there are always limitations because they're starting out. They don't know how deep the water is as well. So it's important to start with an attorney like yourself that is experienced. I mean, not to beat up another company, organization, but a lot of people go online and think they're doing the right thing and they're saving some money. And unfortunately, you know, they're either going to pay you now or pay you a lot later.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the truth. Pay me now or pay me later. I mean, you know, when you're starting up a business, everyone has the best intentions. Everyone tries to plan out the best they can. One of the things they need to do as part of their planning is actually consult with a business attorney because it's great to go online. It's great to find forms and templates. It's great to do stuff. And like I have a saying, I guarantee you that the right answer to whatever your question is on the internet, but I also guarantee you that the wrong answer is on there too. And that's why you have an attorney, is to tell you the difference between what's right and what's wrong. So you may go on to one of these big document generation websites or one of these, you know, kind of sub, you know, the freelancer type websites and get some documents. And that may be great if we were in Hawaii or, you know, something like that, but we're in Florida and that may not apply here. So you may have these documents that you have that you think are governing your business, and in reality, they're not. So, I mean, you're going to have problems, whether it be now or down the road when something happens. So it's better to invest in yourself by investing in having professionals help you at the beginning. It's not just an attorney. It's having an accountant. If you're going to do, like we had discussed earlier, like branding and stuff like that, it's having like a real, you know, like a real like graphic artist professional and someone who can help you with your SEO and all that stuff rather than try to piecemeal it together as you go. I mean, that's part of your comprehensive plan. And if you don't plan, you know, you fail to plan to fail. There you go.
The old sayings are so true. Franchises are very popular. They're turnkey operations, but there's a lot of minutia. There's a lot of requirements that people have to go through. Is that part of your business where someone comes to you and say, I want to buy this franchise, it's McDonald's or Taco Bell or whatever?
Yes. Yeah, I work with franchisees. I actually work with franchisors too. And I mean, franchise law, definitely interesting. Definitely a lot of different moving parts there. A lot of I don't want to say weird stuff, but a lot of interesting behind the scenes stuff that goes with the franchisors and their different requirements and certain things that you have to do. Some are a lot more stringent with how you have to, what you have to do is your due diligence in order to actually get into the franchise. And some of them are just like, oh, you have money, you now have franchise. So
it sure seems that way.
It's true. There's, and you can, I mean, you know, as a lay person or whatever you want to say, you can tell when you look at a business what a highly regulated, structured franchise looks like versus a, versus a franchise where you know they're just doing it to get the more franchises out there.
Right, where they don't care what, you know, you could add things to the menu that's not in another place and things like that. There's no real standard. Yeah. But the good ones do have those standards.
Yeah.
And that's why they're successful, because, again, they have a tried, true operation as well. But you do need an attorney like yourself to protect you, because they may have clauses in there you don't understand, but you're going to sign it anyway.
Correct.
You know? You know, the most dangerous person is somebody with a pen. Doesn't know what they're doing.
You know, it's sometimes it is.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, that's why you're in business as well.
Yeah.
But you work within situations of alternative dispute resolution methods. And we touched on arbitration, but mediation is a big part of your business.
Yeah. I'm a mediator, so I mediate other people's disputes, which is always fun. I like helping people try to, you know, I take off my litigation hat, or I put it on, and try to do it in an impartial way. And it's fun trying to help people sort out their differences and come to an amicable solution, especially good when I don't have a dog in the fight. It's not one of my clients.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, as well. Now, you've been practicing business law, commercial law, and as a litigator for how long now?
15 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Time flies.
It does. Yeah. It does. And the laws that come into place that you know, obviously weren't in place when you began, that are constantly changing and evolving. Is part of your job, if you were my attorney, is to keep me abreast of the changes so I could be prepared?
Yeah. I mean, I stay, you know, you have to stay on top of all the laws and make sure that your clients are complying with them, because you may be in compliance with 2003 laws back when I started. 2018, not the case.
Right.
So
right.
You got to stay up on that stuff for your clients.
Now, litigation is expensive. Typically, it's done by hourly. But for what you do in terms of if I come to you, I want to open up a business, I think I want an LLC or corporation and so forth. And then basically I come to you and you help set that up to put me on the right path.
Correct.
But you're not there to advise me if I'm going to be successful or not, because nobody has a crystal ball.
Correct. I'll try to help you the best I can, but you know when it comes down to it, you're the one who's out on the field. So.
Florida's a unique place to have a business. You know, it really is.
It is.
I'm originally from Illinois. Matter of fact, in Illinois, we had a state income tax of 6%. It's probably now 8%.
Yeah.
You know, they need the money as well. But things do change. When it comes to the types of businesses that are coming down the pike that people are looking to get into, is now the dot-com is now the marijuana business. Canada now approved the whole state.
Yeah, yesterday. It's it's good to be in Canada.
So. I guess so.
They're doing something more than the maple leaf now up there. So
right, right.
Good. Yeah.
If you're in that business or apps, a lot of people I know have started getting involved in different apps.
Yeah.
And starting to be successful. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What about an app for marijuana? That could be big.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah. Where to get it from. But as I said, different things change. It used to be that it was illegal. Now it's legal, you know, in certain aspects as well. Now, when it comes to the types of businesses you basically work with, again, it could be a cleaning business. It could be a restaurant. I mean, what actually is your sweet spot?
My sweet spot, like I said before, are small local businesses.
So it doesn't matter the type of business.
Doesn't matter the type of business.
Right.
You know, I mean, those are my sweet spots. Like I said, I represent all kinds of businesses from, you know, Brazilian online retailers that are based in Deerfield Beach. That's a real example, by the way. To, you know, the bug guy, the cleaning lady, you know, all that's, I represent them all. So.
All of them need an attorney to get their business going.
Yeah.
So the point I'm trying to make is that litigation is expensive. Your job is to keep it out of litigation. But as far as the other work that you do, is that done on a flat fee?
The document preparation, yes, it's done on a flat fee basis mostly because with the documents, I know when they begin, when they end, and what goes into it versus litigation where we don't know where it's going to begin, end, and what's going to happen. So litigation, hourly basis, document preparation,
right,
and that stuff, flat fee basis.
And so you know from the get-go it's going to be a flat fee and you let your client
know
as well.
Yeah.
What about those that come from a different country that maybe are here legally?
Mm-hmm.
But they want to open up a business.
Mm-hmm.
Are they precluded? Can somebody from another country open up a business or even get a trademark?
Yes, they can. And it's interesting because you were talking about the franchise stuff earlier on. A lot of foreign nationals, in order to get their visas to stay in the U.S., have to have some kind of business nexus. And a lot of them are steered towards getting into franchises and not necessarily great franchises.
So they have to have a certain amount of money invested in potential employees.
Correct.
To be employed.
Correct.
As well. And then they move to the head of the line then.
Yes. Yeah. You know, then they get the opportunity to either sink or swim depending on their business. And a lot of these franchisors who are putting businesses out there, some of the not so great ones are the ones that, you know, the immigrants are kind of steered into, which, you know, isn't really great, but, you know, I mean, that's what you have to do in order to have a business opportunity to get your visa to stay in the U.S.
And if I want to expand my business internationally, maybe go to Canada, you know, open up a business there and so forth. Is that work that you actually can help me with?
Yeah, we'll go do as much as we need to do on the U.S. end or the Florida end, and then we'll, you know, we'll raise our, we'll instead of NAFTA, now we'll do USMCA, and we'll go reach out to some of our Canadian friends and have them help us do the Canadian portion.
It's amazing how things have changed so rapidly.
There you go.
As well. You know, Matthew, you're a fine attorney. On your website, I don't know when you sleep. I mean, I see all the different organizations that you're with and so forth, and I've met your wife before.
Yep. Yeah, I don't really sleep, so it's good. So,
that is true.
I'm busy updating my website. So,
but if somebody has questions about opening up a business or they're currently in a business and need to protect themselves, Matthew, what is the best way to contact you? How can somebody find you?
You can call me at 954-324-3651. You can email me at mfornaro@fornarolegal.com.
Spell Fornaro.
F-O-R-N-A-R-O. So it's mfornaro@fornarolegal.com.
Well, that's
and my
easy.
Website, fornarolegal.com. You can see me on Twitter at fornarolegal. You can see me on Facebook at Matthew Fornaro PA. I'm all over the place.
It just Google your name and you come right up.
So I'm there. Yep. Yeah. Me and a guy in Ohio with my name.
That's right. Yeah. I was going to say, you got to be careful.
He's a football player. So, but we're friends on Facebook, so it's okay.
You know, it does go by too fast, but the lifeblood of this nation is business.
It is.
Keeping business on track. And don't go online to find somebody to help you open up a business by, you know, they'll send you all the documents and everything. You never speak anybody. You need to hire somebody you can reach out and strangle, like you.
Correct. No one's strangling me, but
no, sure. You know what I'm saying.
The only one who's strangling me is
deal
my
with
wife.
A local, so yeah, well, so. There you go. But you no, go. In all seriousness, deal with a local attorney. You have inside operation experience here in the state of Florida, and really, there's nothing you cannot do when it comes to business or commercial area of practice of law.
Correct.
You know, I'm actually a big fan of yours.
All right, thank you. It's good to be back, Phil. I'm a big fan of yours, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
You know, it always goes by, and I say this so too fast. Gary Astro had to leave because, as a criminal attorney, he gets clients calling them at any time.
Yeah, Gary's off to the big house to get a new client. So.
That's true. But if you're listening to the program, put your cell phone down. Don't text and drive. You know, you're going to get where you are, and the information will be there and able to read it. And remember...
Be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.